Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good morning, everybody. This is Ken Shepherd, along with Dana Lee. And the show's called Making Money in Real Estate When You Have No Money. Our call-in number today is 347-989-1329. I'm going to read a disclaimer, and then I'll go over a few other things, and we'll go ahead and get started. Please note this show is intended only for the listeners. All investment information contained in the show has been secured from sources Creative Flips Inc. and Ken Shepherd believes are reliable, but we make no representations or warranties expressed or implied as to the accuracy of the information. The views, opinions, conclusions, and other information expressed in the show are not the responsibility of Creative Flips Inc. or Ken Shepherd in any manner. Creative Flips Inc. and Ken Shepherd accepts no liability for the content of this email. I'm sorry, the content of the show, or for the consequences of any actions taken on the basis of the information provided in the show. Creative Flips Inc. and Ken Shepherd recommends that you consult with a financial advisor, attorney, accountant, and any other professional that can help you understand and assess the risks associated with any investment opportunity. Always use your strengths to fund your weaknesses. What we mean by that, basically, is if you have something where you could help somebody else and help yourself in the process, it's always good to do that. When it comes to deal making, if you don't have the money and somebody else needs a deal done and they have money to buy it, find what they want, get paid, and use the money for what you need. It's kind of just as an example. Website is www.creativeflips.webs.com. Telephone number 24/7 is 310-358-7087. Email fci@packbell.net. Twitter is @KenShepherd and Facebook is Facebook/KenShepherd and Facebook/CreativeFlipsInc. We usually have $300 to $500 million in process, depending on where we are. I've been doing this about 30 years. All the shows in the archives are free. Please tell everybody in the world to listen, download, play them for their friends, and join our radio audience and become part of our network in general. We've closed a lot of business. We have $80 million in closings on our website, many more that are not on there for confidentiality reasons. And we also did a soft proof of funds in the recent past for up to $500 million. One of the ways you can connect with investors is KenRE Radio. That's KENREradio.com. Connect with over 150,000 investors at no cost and meet a lot of people and close deals and let us know whatever you close. So we're very happy to have you with us today. Again, KenREradio.com is a wonderful source, and we use it every day ourselves. And it's the biggest on the Internet, and we'd love you to become part of our community there. So thank you very much, and we're about to get ready to the show, so let's talk about the show today.
So one of the things that we think is really important is that we've done a number of shows about the whole idea of flipping property and working with property that, hold on 1 second. Sorry about that. Working with property and how to work on offers and how to create offers and how to get the offers accepted. And part of that process is having a form that you can use that could get you into the offer on a very rapid period of time. This is one of the things that we've seen in California is the size of the offer form from the real estate board has grown dramatically over the last, 30 years or so. And we want to make it so that it's very simple. And I wanted to create a form that's very simple. So years ago, dealing with real estate for many years and going through all the cumbersomeness of filling out all the forms, especially when you're dealing with multiple states and different rules and all those kind of things, we decided to come up with a very simple form that we're going to walk you through and why it's important and how to use it. So what we'll do is we're going to talk about this form. We call it a letter of intent. Actually, some people call it a letter of direction, or not a letter of direction, a letter of interest. And basically it does is it covers all the key points of a particular transaction and allows you to be able to go through that transaction very, very rapidly and fill out the form so that it gives you all the information that somebody would need in order to decide if they want to buy or allow you to purchase, rather, the property that they have for sale. So obviously, at the beginning of the form, the most important thing is you want to be able to see there's a place for your name, your address, your phone number, and all the things that they would want about you as the seller, as the buyer. Okay. Now, a lot of people in this section like to use a corporation. Why? Because, first of all, it's a safer environment. Now, you could talk to your accountant about this. Maybe it's not for you, but you don't have to do it this way. But we just like to use a corporation. What it does for us is it gives us more protection, and it allows us to be able to feel that we're inside a cocoon by having the corporation. And instead of getting really fancy like some people do with the other thing, we just use a corporation. Now, you can use an LLC. You can use your name. You can use a company name. You can use what's called a doing business as, when you put a name in for your business. But you want to make sure you have some way for people to identify you. Okay, who's making the offer? Well, that's you. Okay, so it's a fill-in-the-blanks form, and you can create this particular form into a PDF. And once you create it into a PDF, or I like to use it in Microsoft Word personally, then it gives you all the information that you need in order to fill out this particular form. And inside the next section, it says is your website address, if you have one. It's a non-binding letter of intent. What do we mean by non-binding letter of intent? What we mean is that it is not something that you're obligated to. Binding is something that's called binding if you have to do it. It's called non-binding if you don't have to do it. This is called a non-binding letter of intent. Okay? We could send you the form if you'd like a copy of it. Just write to us, to our email address, or send us preferably send us an email either inside the website or to us directly. Then there's a place for the date. I like to write out the date. Like, now I don't put like 4/12/14. I put April 12, 2014. Because remember, you're writing kind of a formal letter here. And you could do this on your computer. If you don't have a computer, you could print the form and you could just fill out the information in the blocks. And then to whom it may concern, saves you from having to worry about who you're writing to. Because sometimes you don't know where it's going to go, you don't know who's going to see it, and you don't know at the end of the day who's going to actually cite it. And then it goes further down and says, we, and then you put your name right next to that, like we, in my case, I put Creative Flips, Inc., in Dana's case, she puts Crossroads Financial
Solutions.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Here and after referred to as buyer, hereby express our interest in purchasing the note/property per the below. Now, one of the things that's really important is that we don't put an and or a science clause in this letter of intent. Now, we have another form that we use that's a little bit more formal, but I'm going to make this as simple as I possibly can. We, such and such, here and after referred to as buyer, hereby express our interest in purchasing the note property further below. It does not have and or assigns. It does not have and or nominee. Okay? You are the buyer. There's a reason for that. Because if you put and or assigns or and or nominee, what we have found is that a lot of people think, well, you're just turning around and selling this contract to somebody else. You're not the buyer. And when people see that, lots of times they won't want to do the deal. It's just the way people are. They get very nervous about doing business with somebody that does
not...
Well,
it signals to people that you are trying to get it at a really good discount, which you
right.
should. But
yep.
that makes... So that can make the negotiations a little bit tougher if they think you're
right.
trying to basically steal their property.
Or get it
you
at
know,
a lesser... Yeah, exactly. Get it at a lesser price.
That's a connotation.
Price. Yeah, it's a connotation, exactly, because you're dealing with an assignment or you're dealing with something that has to do with a nominee, And in any of those cases, it's like saying, I'm not buying this, somebody else is buying it, but I'm taking on the right to purchase it and give it to them. So it's, but you can do it without doing that. And we found by not doing that, it's much better. The terms and conditions are, then it says descriptions of the assets you're purchasing. Okay, and that's where you put in what you're buying. Like, is it a, what's the address of the property? Not the prop, not your address. Okay, what's the address of the property? Or the assessor's parcel number. I like to put in the address, the assessor's parcel number, and if I happen to know who the seller is, I'll put in owner of real estate or something like that. You want to remember, this may go to an attorney, PA, could go to a bank, could go anywhere. So you want it to look nice and formal, but you don't want it to look scary. And it doesn't need to be. Okay. The next thing is total purchase price. That's the price that you're paying for the property to the seller. Okay. So you just put in the price, whatever price you want to pay. Okay. And whatever price you've negotiated, if you have, with the seller. Now, many times you may use this form and never speak to a seller. You just put in the address, and you fill at the top where it has your name, and which I like to use a template, so it means that I don't have to fill it in each time. It's already there. Okay, all I have to do is just fill in the address, fill in the name, or have somebody do it from our office, whatever it might be. Okay. So the total purchase price is what you're paying for the asset. It's not about any kind of creative financing. It's just what are you paying for the property, okay? Total earnest money deposit. That's how much you're going to give the seller along with the offer in order to have the seller know that you want to make an offer to purchase the property, whether it's a dollar, whether it's $10, whether it's $1,000, whatever it's the number is, you put the number in the box and attach a, go to the bank and get some checks and write on the check escrow or a title company. In other words, don't put any name of a company, just put escrow or title company. Then make out the check for the amount that you want it to be for, sign it, put in the memo of the check, what the address of the property is, what it's for, that you're the buyer, and who the seller is if you know, or their parcel, assessor's parcel number, or their address of the property or something like that. And then across the check, you write, you just put a slash line from like bottom left to top right, and you write the word above that slash line, copy, in big letters. That means nobody can use this check, only a copy, okay? Now, some people use the word void. I don't like to use the word void because it means like, well, you're voiding the transaction. People get confused. If you use the word copy, it solves that problem. Now, your earnest money deposit may be a promissory note. It may be another piece of property. It may be something else you're using for your down payment, like a car or whatever. But whatever that is, it has value. And whatever that value is, you want to assign, let's say you're using a car, okay? Let's say the car's wholesale value is $5,000, okay? So you put total earnest money deposit, and you put the name of the car, the kind of car, and how much that earnest money deposit is. Just as an example, you could just put a dollar. I like to put a dollar or $10 or whatever I'm using as the deposit. If I'm buying a big asset, generally, it's a larger number, but if you're buying single-family homes, I've done them for a dollar. But again, that's a negotiable point with the seller, okay? Because the seller may say, well, we want a certain number of dollars down. We want it in escrow. We want to do that. We want to know you have the money, and we want to know that you can close. Okay. The next line says, buyer to fund this transaction for all cash. Now, you can buy it with seller carrying part of the purchase price. You could buy it with creative financing and all those kinds of things. But what we think is really smart is to say buyer will fund for all cash. Why? Because when you pay all cash, you get a better price. You're not being creative on terms, being creative on price You either get one or the other in any transaction. Usually you don't get both. You get price or you get terms. So either you pay a low price for all cash, or you pay a higher price and you give the seller a carry back loan, or you're going to get financing or whatever you're going to do. But I put buyer to fund this transaction for all cash because it allows me, and Dana uses this form also, keep the price as low as possible. Okay? And when it's all cash, it's great. Now, the next line, proof of buyer ability to perform will be provided upon written request of the seller. What that means basically is that if the seller says to you, I need a proof of fund, I need to know you have the money, well, just call us, and if we like the deal, we'll get you the proof of funds. Or you can get a proof of funds from somebody you know. It doesn't have to be your money. It could be somebody else's balance sheet or bank statement or whatever the seller will accept. Okay? Now, I don't like to use a bank statement. I like to use a letter from an attorney, CPA, bank officer, securities officer, title or escrow officer that merely says to the seller that we have the capacity to close this transaction for all cash, and that is usually enough. I recently was asked to provide a proof of funds for up to $10 million, up to $10 million, and I did that, and our attorney signed it, and we went off from there. So the seller accepted it, and we were able to move the transaction forward, having that in place. A lot of people say, well, I can get a proof of funds on the Internet. You can use it that way. There's lots of different ways you can get proof of funds letters. Or if you have the money yourself, of course, you can provide that. But we like to provide it in the form of this, what we call a soft letter. And the reason it's a soft letter is it's all the information, but nothing disclosing. When you do a hard letter, it's like giving somebody a bank statement. A soft letter is a letter from an attorney, bank officer, securities officer, title officer, CPA or such, six categories of people, attorney, CPA, bank security, banks officer, securities officer, title officer, or escrow officer. These are the six categories of people that we work with all the time who issue these on our behalf. Why would they do it? Because they want business from you, and because they want to know that when you get into the transaction, that hopefully you're going to use them for that transaction. Some people won't do it. Some people will. Some people will say, I'll only accept the letter from your lawyer. I won't accept it from an escrow or title company. But I found most people, I've never had somebody say, I won't accept the letter from one of those six people. And the reason we choose those six and not a realtor or anybody else is a realtor is usually part of the transaction or is tied to the transaction or in some way is tied to real estate. We want somebody who has a license. So when they write something, their license is involved. That means they've checked out what you've said, which is why it's going to be accepted 99% of the time. I've never had one not accepted, ever. Okay. So proof of buyer ability to perform will be provided upon written request to the seller. Therefore, you don't have to have a proof of funds when you write your offer. You don't have to have anything other than this one piece of paper. Okay? Because if they ask you for it, that's when you provide it. Okay. Next, closing date to be mutually agreed upon between buyer and seller and to be as soon as possible after the contingency period expires. Well, when does a seller usually want to close?
Today.
Yesterday. Right? Today or yesterday, not tomorrow, not next week, not 3 weeks from now. They want to close today. Okay. So we do it this way because it opens up a negotiation. It also talks about what the contingency period is going to be, how long it's going to be, if there's going to be one at all, okay, and all that. So this is not an actual letter of intent in itself. It's basically a memorandum of interest, okay? And the reason we call it a non-binding letter of intent is so the seller knows we're writing something to them showing we're interested in the brief, but we're not talking about anything specific. We're just showing that we're sincere. That's the key, to open the dialogue, have a negotiation and to show them the sincerity that we have for them. Okay? Now, as far as what your contingency period is going to be, what those contingencies are, all the kind of stuff, this is all negotiation between buyers and sellers. That's how that works. Because every time you get into a deal, every seller is going to be different. Every situation is going to be different. And you're going to run into things all the time, from the time you start until the time you end, that you may never have expected. We're in the middle of one right now where we put the investor, who's our investor, on the phone with a lender. In this case, it was a loan. The lender asked the investor a question. And the investor determined it to be a question regarding to the property, and the lender determined it to be a question regarding to whether that particular investor had ever worked with a particular company ever. But it wasn't stated like, have you ever worked with this company in your life? It was just, do you know these people? Well, that's a very broad statement, and it could be determined any number of different ways. So when you're dealing with sellers and you're dealing with deals, if you're a seller and you're dealing with buyers, you're going to end up in some form of negotiation, whether it's on how long your contingency period is, what it is, how much your deposit is, how much whatever. You know, I mean, I've had offers accepted without any changes at all, but rarely is it without something from the seller, something, or something from the buyer. Somebody says something that they want differently, or they want to discuss something that's important to them, like that they want a credit for repairs, you know, whatever it may be that's going to get into the conversation. This just gets you into the discussion, okay? That's why we like it so much, because it's so simple, and it gets you into the discussion. Now,
let me ask you a question, Ken. Is this something that you just pulled out of your hat and nobody had ever done this before? This is not the way people do business at the top levels of business. Is this like just, you know, am I going to have to explain to everybody what I've sent them?
What a great question. The answer really is that it's a form that's used when you're dealing with any kind of transaction at any level to open up a dialogue. It's sort of like a substitute for sitting down with a person who you want to purchase or sell something, or who wants, because most of the times you're going to be on the side of the buyer. That's what this is about. You're writing a letter of intent to buy something. So you're making an expression of interest to the person who's selling it, and you're just doing it like it's a conversation. But you're doing it in a formal way, not like, hi, I want to buy your house. That's fine. Hi, I want to buy your house can be great. This is a little more formal. It's accepted at every level. I've never had it not accepted. It's the kind of form people use that buy $500 million deals, and it's the kind of form people use that buy $500,000 deals and $10,000 deals.
Have you ever used it with a bank?
Yes.
And they don't look askance at it and go, you got to prove blah, blah, blah. They just enter the dialogue with you and then ask for proof if they agree?
Well, they'll look at it, and they may say right away, we need to see a proof of funds, or they may say any number of things about what they want, but that's where you get into negotiation. Like, they may say, we want to see a proof of funds, like with the guy with the $10 million recently. Said, I want to see a proof of funds. I said, okay, instead of giving you a bank statement, would you accept a letter from an attorney, in this case, because we use our lawyer. You don't have to use a lawyer. You can use a CPA, you can use a bank officer, securities officer, title officer, escrow officer. And all it has to say is, I can confirm that such and such a person, meaning you or your company, has the wherewithal and or the capital or whatever language they want to use. And we have a letter for that as well that we
That's right.
To use. Okay.
I've seen you say, will this text work for your purposes?
Yes, exactly.
And I've seen somebody say, well, no, we'd rather see it like this, or or that works
for us. That's great. That's exactly right, and it's important to do that, because when you give them what we call pretext, which we say, here's the text that we're going to give you our proof of funds on. Is this acceptable text to you? Because if it is, we'll get it done on our letterhead of our counsel, or we'll have it on an email from council with all their coordinates, meaning
how to get
in touch
with them. And that saves you money and time.
Exactly. And also what it does is for the other side, it says, okay, not only is this person who's writing this on your behalf an attorney or a CPA, bank securities officer, title or escrow officer, they also have all their coordinates, their address, their phone number, their fax number, everything about, sometimes they even have their bar card number or their license number right on the letter. Because lots of people like to see that when they get a letter, because then they know they're dealing with somebody that's registered. And you could check their bar card out in the case of a lawyer by just calling the bar and seeing if they're a
member in good standing.
A member in good standing, and then all that. So you want to make sure you prove whoever's writing the letter for you is a member in good standing, just in case somebody checks it. Just remember, we're talking now from the standpoint of being the buyer. Okay. Subject to any, I want to read the next paragraph. And I know we're going kind of glazing over this, but that's okay because we can always get into these other details later. If you have any questions, give us a call. Subject to any and all conditions. Yeah, email, sure. Anyway, I prefer email. I think Dana prefers email too, but we'll get to that in a second. Subject to any and all conditions, precedent, and due diligence required by the buyer. Required by the buyer. In other words, anything and everything that you set as terms of what you want is required by you before this is a contract. Subject, you don't have to do it unless you make these things happen, to any, all conditions, precedent, and due diligence required by the buyer. This includes, but is not limited to, inspection of the property, securing the note or property, which we have an interest in purchasing, as well as inspection of all available books, records, and documentation. So it works for a note, it works for a property, it works for an office building, it works for an apartment house, it works for a shopping center, it works for a single family home, it works for a piece of land. There's not one kind of property this does not work for. And this is very standard language. I have guys that buy $50 million assets and use this form or something very, very similar. Okay. Now, what's important about this paragraph is it basically says to the seller, what is it you want? Do you want any conditions precedent, or do you not want any conditions precedent? Now, you may say, this is subject to nothing. I'm just buying it for all cash. This is subject to nothing. But I wouldn't put that in your initial letter. You can if you want. I've done it because sometimes the sellers look and say, wow, there's no conditions on this, except for clear title. I usually say except for clear title and marketable title. Clear and marketable title, it's called. Because if you're getting a property and you're taking it in its present as-is condition with no representations or warranties by the seller, that takes the seller off the hook for everything. So they don't have to warrant anything, they don't have to promise anything, whatever. So that's a really important point. Now it says services including escrow and title to be buyer's choice. Basically, that says that you want to choose the people that are going to close that file, that are going to do the legal work, that are going to do the escrow work. Now, again, the seller may come back and say, I want to choose escrow, and I want to choose title. Well, that's something that you can negotiate. Then it says subject to, we're at 60 seconds, so I'm going to go quick. It says subject to delivery of clear and marketable title to buyer and by seller. Contingency period for review of all the aforementioned shall be X business days, not Christmas, not New Year's, business days. Okay, not weekends, except from acceptance by seller. Okay, if the above is acceptable to you, please kindly advise my office of same kind regards and your company name and all that kind of stuff. So, Dana, you want to tell people how they can get in touch with you?
Sure. Email is great. You can email dealswithkd@gmail.com. That's dealswithkd@gmail.com. Or you can give me a call at 269-849-9510. In either case, please leave your name, your phone number, time of day that's best to reach you, and how we can help you, what you're looking for.
Right, exactly. Like I had a guy write me the other day through our Connected Investors website, said, I need a proof of funds. Okay, why? What do you need it for? How can we help you? What's the purpose of it? Okay? These are all important things to us. Now, of course, the more information you give us, the more we can help you. There's some people that have proof of funds they'll just give you over the internet. Sometimes I think bills don't get accepted that readily. So hopefully this has helped you in understanding how you can fill out a form in less than 2 minutes using your computer or writing it up by hand that basically gives you all the information that you need in order to make sure that you cover all the open points that have to do with starting a dialogue on a purchase contract. So I think we're pretty much out of air time. Does it say we're off air or on air, Dan, on the board?
We're recording.
We're recording.
So we're off air.
But we're off air. Okay. We hope this has been helpful to everybody. Thank you very much for your time and joining us today. We hope everybody in the United States and throughout the world has a wonderful Thanksgiving, a long weekend coming up tomorrow. Enjoy your family and friends. And remember to be thankful for all the things that we all have here in the United States. And if you're other places around the world and you don't celebrate Thanksgiving, that doesn't mean that you shouldn't think about your friends, your family, and everybody that's important to you and who you're important to every day.
Every day.
So, every day.
Thank you, Ken.
You're welcome. Sure. So, and thanks for listening to the show. We look forward to talking to you, and we will talk to you soon. And, Dana, I will call you back at half an hour.